Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the analyst conference call of RTL Group regarding the presentation of the half year results 2021. This conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Oliver Fahlbusch, RTL Group's Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this analyst call for RTL Group's interim results for the first half of 2021. The speakers for today's presentation are Thomas Rabe, the Group's CEO, Elmar Heggen, our COO and Deputy CEO, and Björn Bauer, our CFO. The presentation for this call is available on our corporate website, rtlgroup.com, following the link included in our press release on the download. The agenda on slide 2 shows the areas our management team will cover today. And with this, I hand over to Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, Oliver, and good morning from me as well. Following today's announcement and recent announcements on consolidation moves, in addition to our half-year results, I will put a focus on our strategy and growth plans. Let's turn to the highlights. We had a very successful first half for RTL Group in terms of financial and operating performance, but also in terms of strategic progress. Three major developments marked the first 6 months. First, the rebound, a strong rebound of the advertising and the advertising markets in the second quarter. Second, the dynamic growth of our streaming and content businesses. And third, the active portfolio management and significant progress in the transformation of RTL Group. Revenue, adjusted EBITDA, group revenue were up significantly in the first half. In addition, we saw significant revenue growth of our global content business Fremantle and of our streaming services TV Now and Videoland. So to summarize, we successfully managed the challenges of the coronavirus crisis. Our revenue and operating profits are back to pre-crisis levels. And as a result, we have raised our forecast and outlook for the full year 2021, to which I will come back later in the presentation. 1 year ago, we expressed our conviction that alliances and larger merger moves and thus the creation of national TV champions in Europe are necessary and called on the regulators to be supportive. And we also said we are ready to act, and we did. Today, we are leading the consolidation of the European media industry. Since the beginning of the year, we signed agreements for four major transactions in Germany, France, the Netherlands, and Belgium. They all have the same target, to significantly strengthen our businesses and the competition with global tech platforms. We're creating significant value for RTL Group and its shareholders, and I'll present some details on this later. We also have big ambitions for our global content business, Fremantle. We've decided to accelerate the expansion of Fremantle, both organically and via M&A, targeting full-year revenue of €3 billion by 2025. That means doubling the revenue compared to 2020. With this, I will now hand over to Björn, who will take us through the details of the group's financial results.
Thank you, Thomas, and good morning from me as well. Today, we are pleased to announce a strong set of financials that are the result of four key items that I will cover during my brief presentation. First, strong operating performance while ad markets rebounded in Q2. Second, effective control of our costs that led to improved margins. Third, continued focus on cash flow to fund our investments into growth businesses and to allow for shareholder returns. And lastly, active portfolio management leading to significant capital gains. Let's start with the group key figures. In the first half of 2021, group revenue was up by 13.7% to €3 billion, mainly due to the strong growth of TV advertising revenue. Our content and streaming growth businesses performed strongly as well. Fremantle's revenue was up 28.6% to €909 million. Streaming revenue from TV Now and Videoland was up 33.8% to €107 million. While platform revenue, i.e. the revenue generated across the distribution platforms cable, satellite, IPTV, including retransmission fees, increased by 3.4% to €230 million. On an organic basis, i.e. before scope and FX effects, revenue grew by 21.5% compared to the first half of 2020 and by 2.1% compared to the same period in 2019, which shows that we are already exceeding the pre-crisis level on a comparable basis. With ongoing cost control, RTL Group's adjusted EBITDA increased by 87.2% to 483 million euro. This resulted in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 16%, up 6% compared to the first half of 2020. The group profit for the first six months was up by a factor of 6 to the record level of 929 million euro. RTL Group is back to pre-crisis level. Here are some additional details. On the left, you can see the development of RTL Group's revenue in the Q1 and Q2 for the years 2019 and to 2021, and also the development of our largest revenue stream, TV advertising. The soft start in 2021 was marked by lower TV advertising revenue, especially in Germany and the Netherlands, due to the lockdown measures. In addition, negative exchange rate effects and significant scope effects resulting from the disposals of broadband TV and the group MC's diversification businesses, home shopping services, and iGraal. As expected and as announced with our Q1 statement in May, TV advertising revenue grew strongly by 65% in Q2 2021 and was even up compared to the second quarter of 2019. With strong growth from Fremantle and streaming, group revenue was up 35.7% compared to Q2 2020, and this despite the significant deconsolidation effects I just mentioned. We have observed the same picture as last year. Once the economic environment started to improve, TV advertising money came back quickly, and this again clearly shows the strength of TV with regards to building reach and brands in a high quality and safe environment. As a result, and as you can see on the right side of the slide, RTL Group's adjusted EBITDA before streaming startup losses, which amounted to 54 million euro in the first 6 months, grew to 537 million euro. This is in line with the pre-crisis level of the first half of 2019 and leads to a margin before streaming of 18.5%. Moving on right, and looking now at the items below EBITDA down to the net profit. In April 2021, RTL Group sold its interest in SpotX to the US ad tech company Magnite. Since the announcement of the transaction on February 5th, RTL Group exercised an option to increase the cash component of the transaction and received $640 million in cash and 12.37 million shares of Magnite stock. The disposal of SpotX alone resulted in a capital gain of 745 million euro. In total, RTL Group recorded capital gains of 766 million euro in the first half of the year. The group's tax charge came in at 278 million euro. The higher tax charge compared to the first half of 2020 was due to the group's significantly higher profitability and the capital gains from the disposal of SpotX, which were taxed at a rate below our normalized tax rate. Accordingly, the reported tax rate was 23%. As a result of our strong operating performance and high capital gains, group profit for the first half year increased to the record level of 929 million euro, more than twice the previous high from 2013. Looking now at the next slide, the cash flow statement. Our operating free cash flow remained strong at 386 million euro, while the operating cash conversion rate was 82% in the first half of 2021. Last year's exceptionally high cash conversion rate was due to favorable net working capital effects as a result of the measures that we introduced in reaction to the coronavirus crisis at the beginning of Q2 2020. And this year's cash flow is also impacted by investments and timing effects at the level of Fremantle. The line acquisition, disposal of subsidiaries mainly reflects the cash received as part of the disposal of SpotX and the cash paid out for the acquisition of SuperRTL, which we stepped up to 100%. With the higher tax charge, and most importantly, the dividend payment for the financial year 2020 amounting to a total of 568 million euro, the cash used in the first half of 2021 was 109 million euro. At the end of June, RTL Group was still in a net cash position of 173 million euro, despite the dividend payment. For the business review, I will now hand over to Elmar.
Thank you, Björn, and good morning from my side as well. In the first half of 2021, Our largest unit, RTL Deutschland, accelerated the growth of its streaming service TVNOW. The number of paying subscribers more than doubled to more than 2 million compared to the end of June, while the viewing time increased by 51% year-on-year. The strategic partnership with Deutsche Telekom's Magenta TV contributed significantly to the growth, which was also boosted by successful formats such as Princess Charming and more than 20 originals. The German TV advertising market was estimated to be up between 8.5% and 9% in the first half of 2021. Total revenue of RTL Deutschland was up 13.1% to 1 billion euro, thanks to significantly higher TV advertising revenue in the second quarter and growing streaming revenue. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 15.5% to 201 million euro, representing a margin of 20%. In terms of audiences, RTL Deutschland reported a combined audience share of 26.5% in the target group of viewers aged 14 to 59, which was slightly down year-on-year as the UEFA Euro was broadcast by the public broadcasters in Germany. This means that our German family of channels kept its lead over its main commercial competitor, ProSiebenSat.1, at a 4 percentage points difference. Vox performed particularly well in the first half of 2021, as the channel was 3 months amongst the top three commercial channels in the target group 14 to 49, also the first time ever ahead of Sat.1 in this month. Competition in our largest market, Germany, is constantly increasing, both in linear TV, with one of the largest public service broadcast systems in the world, and also in non-linear with the US platforms. This is why we continue to invest significantly in our streaming service, TVNOW, which will be rebranded to RTL Plus, in our family of channels with the full acquisitions of Super RTL, and in other initiatives such as EdTech. Moving now to MCs. The French net TV advertising market was estimated to be up 33% compared to the first half of 2021. Total revenue of Group MCs was up 15.8% to 645 million euros, mainly due to higher advertising revenue. Adjusted EBITDA increased significantly by 78% to 151 million euro, representing a margin of 23%, and this despite the programming costs for 8 live matches of the UEFA Euro in June. The audience share of our French family of free-to-air channels in the commercial target group was up to 23.1%. MCs succeeded with successful shows such as Top Chef with its best season yet, as well as the broadcast of the Euro matches. In the first half of 2021, the advertising-financed streaming service Sixplay grew its active users by 16.3%. And the streaming service will be further strengthened with more original content, themed channels and live sports. Let's now turn to RTL Netherlands on slide 13. The Dutch net TV advertising market was estimated to be up by 34.9% in the first half of 2021, with RTL Netherlands performing better than the market. Accordingly, RTL Netherlands revenue increased by 22.2% to 253 million euros. This resulted in an adjusted EBITDA of 54 million euro, up from 2 million in the same period last year, and in a profit margin of 21%, the unit's highest margin in the first half since 2011. The combined Dutch family of channels delivered an audience share of 33.1%, up 2.3 percentage points year-on-year. The strong audience growth was mainly driven by the main channel, RTL4, which scored high ratings with shows such as The Verraders, Make Up Your Mind, Lego Masters, and The Voice of Holland. RTL Netherlands streaming service, Videoland, recorded paid subscriber growth of 20.7% compared to the end of June 2020. Viewing time was up 11.8% year-on-year. VideoLens growth was largely due to the third season of the original series of Mocro Mafia and the US drama The Handmaid's Tale. Turning now to our global business, the global content business, Fremantle, on slide number 14. In the first half of 2021, Fremantle continued to have major creative successes across all genres, with the delivery of the drama series The Mosquito Coast and season 3 of American Gods. With American Idol, America's Got Talent, and the game show Game of Talents, and with Too Hot to Handle on Netflix, a few days after its launch, it was on the top 10 list of Netflix in several countries. The reality show attracted an audience of 29 million within its first 4 weeks online. Revenue at Fremantle was up by 28.6% to 909 million euros. Fremantle's adjusted EBITDA more than doubled to 61 million euros. With productions such as Exit and The Investigation, Fremantle continued to be one of the leading global producers of international scripted series for all major clients such as Sky, HBO, Amazon Prime, Netflix, Apple Plus, and Disney. Fremantle sold its first high-end documentary Arctic Drift to 162 territories and produced the original factual series Beleno, The Town of Lost Children for Amazon Prime Video. Fremantle also distributed a number of high-end documentaries from third parties, including the series Enslaved, fronted by Samuel L. Jackson, and How It Feels to Be Free, executive produced by Alicia Keys. All this demonstrates the thriving creative diversity across Fremantle's global footprint. I now hand you back to Thomas, who will take you through the strategy update before finishing with the outlook statement.
Yeah, many thanks, Elmar. Let's turn to slide 16. Our strategic framework remains unchanged. It is based on three priorities. Core, which means investing in premium content, strengthening our families of channels, cost control, portfolio management, consolidation. And growth, focusing on our streaming services, advertising technology and addressable TV, as well as the worldwide content production business Fremantle. And finally, alliances and partnerships spanning from advertising sales and content production to technology and data. For the successful implementation of our strategy, we've defined enablers such as creativity and entrepreneurship for our people, regulation, as well as communications and marketing. The time has come, we believe, given all the changes which we've been through, to reposition our core RTL brand with a new identity and a clear set of principles. The objective is to develop the RTL brand from a traditional TV brand into a leading entertainment brand. The refreshed RTL brand stands for positive entertainment and independent journalism, as well as inspiration, energy, and attitude. With our new multicolored logo, we combine the power of a one-brand strategy with the customization possibilities of the digital world. We started the rebranding of RTL Group and RTL Deutschland and will rebrand our streaming service TV Now to RTL Plus in Germany in autumn 2021, and will then continue with the international rollout in 2022. Let's turn to the strategy update. In May and June of this year, we announced two major transactions to create national cross-media champions. First in France, with the planned combination of Groupe TF1 and M6, we expect decision by the regulators by the end of 2022. Once approved, RTL Group's share in the combined entity will be 16% after selling 11% to Groupe Bouygues. Second, in the Netherlands, with the planned combination of RTL Netherlands and Talpa Network, here we expect a decision by the regulators in the first half of 2022. RTL Group's share in the combined entity will be 70%. We see significant value creation potential in both countries. The estimated synergies are in both cases one-third revenue and two-thirds cost-driven. In France, we estimate synergies between 250 and 350 million euro per annum to be realized or fully realized by 2025-2026. And in the Netherlands, 100 to 120 million euro to be realized by 2026. The strategic rationale for both transactions is exactly the same. It is about scale, it's about pooling resources and creativity to compete with global tech platforms in respective national markets, It is about high investments in exclusive local content, boosting the growth of our streaming services. And it's about investment in data and tech, in particular in addressable TV. This morning we announced the combination of RTL Deutschland and Gruner + Jahr, following exactly the same logic. We consider the combination to be a unique opportunity for the two companies because together they will be in a much better position to unlock their full potential. With the combination, we'll create a German cross-media champion with pro forma 2020 revenue of 2.6 billion euro and an operating profit of around 500 million euro. RTL Deutschland and Gruner + Jahr combined are a journalistic powerhouse with a content expertise of more than 1,500 journalists. The potential synergies are estimated to be around 100 million euro per annum to be fully realized by 2025. Here, more than three quarters of the revenues will be revenue driven, and that means growth driven. The key drivers for these revenue synergies are as follows. First, more exclusive and diverse content from cross-media editorial teams. Second, better cross-promotion between different media categories. Third, high attractiveness for Germany's top creative talent. Fourth, optimized cross-media advertising campaigns. And fifth, overall, an even more attractive and complementary brand and product portfolio. Technically, RTL Deutschland will acquire Gruner + Jahr's Germany's publishing assets and brands for 230 million euro on a cash and debt-free basis, and we expect the transaction to close on 1st of January 2022. Now, looking at the consolidation moves and the value to shareholders. When we presented the rationale for in-country consolidation some time ago, we pointed to the very significant synergy potential. And we've made an estimate for you on what this represents in absolute terms and also on a per-share basis. And you see this on the slide. You see that the long-term adjusted EBITDA impact from the three transactions I presented, the midpoint is 510 million euro, and RTL Group's share from these synergies amounts to approximately 251 million euro. The synergy share represents a value creation potential, depending, of course, on the parameters you apply, of 2 to 2.2 billion euro. Which means 13 or 15 euro per RTL share. Now, turning from our national media champion, to our growth businesses, and in particular to our streaming businesses, Elmar explained already, you see this on slide 21, that our streaming services have grown significantly in the first half of the year. We now have more than 3 million paying subscribers at the end of June, and our subscriber base grew by 72%. That means that in the first 6 months of 2021, we added more than 850,000 new paying subscribers compared to 2020. In the first 6 months of 2020, we added 330,000 new paying subscribers. This clearly demonstrates that our streaming investments in marketing, technology, and content, as well as our strategic partnerships, such as the one with Deutsche Telekom, are starting to pay off. To summarize, we think we're well on track to achieve the streaming targets for 2025. Given our consolidation moves in Germany and the Netherlands, we see significant upside potential to boost RTL Plus and Videoland. Moving on to our global content business, Fremantle. Since 2012, Fremantle successfully expanded into scripted drama, that means series and films. It established a global production network in 19 countries, organically and via acquisitions of such companies like Wildside, Kawaii, and Mesofilm. This helped to significantly grow the business with global and national streaming services, which in the first half of this year accounted for approximately 15% of Fremantle's total revenue. There's strong and growing demand for high-end factual content and documentaries, in particular from streaming services. This is the reason why Fremantle has established a new global factual division, with the aim to replicate the success in drama and scripted. First significant steps were made with documentaries like Arctic Drift, documentaries about the Wirecard scandal, and about Angela Merkel. As I said, M&A is part of the 3 billion revenue growth plan of Fremantle, and we've been quite active since the beginning of the year with three acquisitions of Abot Hamari in Israel, Eureka in the US and Australia, and NEN Studios in the Nordics. Combined, the annual revenue of these three companies will be around 300 million euro. That brings us to the target structure for RTL Group's portfolio on slide 23. Target structure is comprised of national cross-media champions in Germany, France, and the Netherlands, well-established cross-border cooperation in the areas of advertising sales, advertising technology, streaming technology, and content development. Yet to say that the technology solutions of SmartClip and Bedrock are open European platforms accessible to companies which are not part of RTL Group. And finally, as I just explained, Fremantle, the global content production company with ambitious growth plans. We've communicated clear growth plans to be achieved by 2025, namely Fremantle with a 3 billion euro revenue target, streaming with a 500 million euro revenue target, addressable TV advertising with a 200 million revenue target for Germany alone, which adds up to a total of plus 2 billion euro revenue by 2025 compared to 2020. That brings me to the outlook for 2021 on slide 24. Assuming that the economic recovery from COVID-19 continues, vaccinations progress and no new lockdown measures are put in place, we've raised our outlook for 2021. We've raised our revenue outlook significantly from 6.2 billion euro to around 6.5 billion euro, and this includes organic growth, approximately or more than 10%, previously 8%, and scope effects, i.e. the sale of Broadband TV and SpotX, but also the full acquisition of Super RTL and Eureka. We expect our adjusted EBITDA for 2021 to increase to approximately 1.05 billion euro. That's 75 million euro higher compared to the previous outlook. The adjusted EBITDA before streaming startup losses shall increase to around 1.2 billion euro, which is above the level of 2018 and 2019. Our dividend policy remains unchanged, and as you know, RTL Group plans to pay out at least 80% of the adjusted full-year net results, including cash capital gains. This brings us to the end of our presentation. Thank you for your attention, and we're now happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your questions answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. One moment, please, for the first question. And the first question received is from Annick Maas of Exane BNP Paribas. Your line is now open, madam. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My question is with regards to your long-term Fremantle target. So you said this is going to be achieved, among others, via M&A. Are we speaking about bolt-on deals, or do you have something more transformational in mind? And then which type of production studios would you be looking at, more focused on scripted content, non-scripted? And I guess the next question would be, you know, what type of margin profile do we expect in the midterm, therefore, for Fremantle? I'm also keen to hear what your advertising trends look like in July and the start of August in your various markets. And finally, I think ProSieben yesterday suggested that they would be quite keen that you are also joining their joint platform. So, you are all for national heroes, so just keen to get an update on your thoughts, if that would be something that you would be looking into. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with Fremantle. Fremantle's revenue last year was approximately 1.5 billion. This will increase to approximately 2 billion this year, which is due to the recovery of the production markets, and it's due to the acquisitions, which I mentioned, not with a full year effect though. Increase from 2 billion to 3 billion will be approximately 50% organically and 50% via M&A. All of the acquisitions will be small to medium-sized acquisitions of production companies, which we can easily integrate. So we're not planning anything transformational because we don't think it's the right thing to do in a creative production business. We see a very healthy pipeline of potential acquisitions after the crisis. A number of small and medium-sized production companies are rethinking their position and actually looking for a new home. The acquisitions will be in all three categories of Fremantle, which we provide, scripted, non-scripted, and also documentaries, high-end documentaries, where we see significant growth opportunity. Our objective is to increase the margin, the Fremantle margin, to 10%. And this will be achieved by A, the acquisitions and taking out costs of the companies we acquire, and B, by scaling up the organization and the overheads quite due to the growth and the underproportional growth of the overhead. In terms of advertising trends, Björn?
Yeah, sure. I mean, generally speaking, the demand for TV advertising remains very strong, and we're getting continued very good feedback from our advertising clients on the value. More specifically on the trends, we see a continuation of the recovery that we've seen in the Q2. More specifically, when you look at our largest market in Germany, July is up around 40%. August, I'd say high single digit. And I think probably likewise important, July, August combined is also firmly up versus 2019. The biggest month for Q3 is obviously September, about 50% of the revenue. It's a little bit too early, but the first indications are also positive, and the trends in the other markets outside of Germany, I'd say, are not dissimilar. So we're very optimistic for the rest of the year.
Yeah. As far as Joyn is concerned, I mean, first point to note is that the business models of Joyn and TV Now, RTL Plus are different. Second point to note is that we have significant traction at RTL Plus, you know, with more than 2 million subscribers, and the growth continues. And the third point is that we believe that a combination, a cooperation between Joyn and RTL Plus would raise all sorts of regulatory concerns in Germany. And this could lead to a defocusing of our businesses and our teams, which we don't want. So we're very confident that we'll be able to grow RTL Plus into a very significant streaming business. We're ramping up our investments very significantly. I mean, as we just said, you know, with 54 million of startup losses in the first half of the year, of which a not insignificant part is related to platform development. Only 35 million approximately are startup losses in Germany. We've been able to increase the subscriber base very, very significantly year on year by more than 100%. The last thing I'm going to do is to put this traction, significant traction we have at risk by an ill-founded combination with Joyn. So it's not on the books. We'll go it alone, and we believe we have a very, very strong business proposition, which is clearly reflected in the numbers which we presented this half year and the outlook we have for the business in the years to come. We're also thinking at RTL Plus to extend the offering from video streaming to other media categories, audio and text, which will at least partly be enabled by the combination of RTL and Gruner, which we announced this morning. So we've got plenty of room to grow further. And as I said, the last thing we're going to do is to put our traction and the dynamic growth of our business at risk.
But that's great. Can I just ask one more on Gunnar? Yeah. So,
of
I mean, you know, you say 3/4 of the synergies are going to be revenue driven. Why? I mean, and this might be a bit of a dumb question, but why was it not possible to do this without necessarily doing the acquisition? Why were you not able to create these synergies over the last 3 years, let's say?
Very good question. You know, RTL and Gruner have been cooperating for many years in three areas: advertising with the Advertising Alliance, which is fully integrated, the Content Alliance, and Data and Tech Alliance. And the Content Alliance is great, but it really is project driven and project based. And many of the joint projects of content development and content distribution via several kind of media platforms or categories have really worked incredibly well. We believe that if we want to fully exploit the potential of this cross-media proposition, it is necessary for the two companies to be combined and for the content generation part of the business to be fully integrated. And the only way to do this is to acquire Gruner. You can't do this on a contractual basis. It's far too complex. It raises all sorts of technical issues, legal issues, tax issues, and the like. And it doesn't set the right set of incentives for doing this. So what we're going to do, we're effectively going to integrate the content generation unit of RTL and Gruner. So you think about, you know, a piece of research, you know, on a specific topic, recently on RTL and Germany's television, a piece on the Argentinian football player Maradona and the circumstances of his death. That was deep research on the ground by RTL and RTL team. It was accompanied by an article in the Stern and audio formats. So that's the way we want to work, systematically look at content, joint content generation, and joint content exploitation across video, audio, text being online and print. And as I said, to achieve this, the companies have to be integrated, and to integrate the companies, the companies have to be part of one legal entity.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yep.
The next question received is from Julien Roch of Barclays. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking my question. The first one is on dividend. To make sure that I think you're going to pay about 10 euros of dividend this year. So so 80% payout on net income is 2.53 in terms of ordinary. Then you're distributing 80% of Belgium, which I think is 0.5. Then 80% of Spotex is 3 euros. And then 80% of France, which I guess I suppose will be next year, not this year. But the cash you're getting from Bouygues is 3.3 euros. So when I put those four things together, I get 9.8 to 10.3. Is that the right calculation for dividend? Well, and that's my first question.
Okay, shall we start with that? Otherwise, we get confused. Listen, I mean, thanks for your confidence in our ability to pay high dividends, and also thanks for the computation, which is fine. It is just that the Belgian transaction has not been completed. The French transaction is unlikely to really get done before 23, the beginning of 23, we believe. We said we would distribute cash capital gains, right? Gains and not cash proceeds. Bjorn, I mean, what's your take on the dividend?
Yeah, obviously relatively early still in terms of dividend, moving pieces. But if you kind of take the outlook that Thomas just presented as the basis and include the portion of the cash capital gain of SpotX, and you have to obviously exclude the value of the Magnite shares, you are already at a value in excess of 4 euros. But this number can increase dependent on transactions to be completed in the second half, such as Belgium, and not limited to that, maybe others.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's fair to say dividends will be handsome dividends. The ordinary dividend, based on the outlook we provided, will be significantly up compared to last year, and the extraordinary dividend, as we call it, related to cash capital gains, really depends on the completion of the transactions and getting the cash proceeds in.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you posted on this, but it's true that the shareholders for 2021 can expect to get a very handsome dividend. 10 euro per share, I think, is a little bit high.
Yeah, 10 euros is too high because I was including all the deals in 1 year. But maybe back then, if you exclude the ordinary dividend, and you distribute 80% on the capital gain, can you give us an indication of the three extraordinary dividend, the one linked to Belgium, the one linked to SpotX, and the one linked to France? And obviously, they will be paid when the deal conclude. If the deal concludes, so if France the competition commission said no, then you won't pay it. But to give us the indication of the dividend linked to those three deals, that would be very useful.
Yeah, we can do that. But as I said, it is all subject to getting these deals done, so that there can be no certainty at this stage. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the deal that we hope will close in the first quarter and the fourth quarter of this year is Belgium. And the dividend impact, again, very round numbers, I would say around 60 cents.
Yep.
Then we are working on Ludia, which could be, again, around 40 cents. France is really too early. I don't have an estimate for France. On SpotX, the cash portion is around 90 cents. And then
the value of today's value of the Magna shares would represent a dividend upside of around €1.70 approximately. Yeah.
Okay. My second question is
€2.60, right?
Yeah. But again, these are directional numbers, and as Thomas said, absolutely dependent on transactions, and for some of these decisions have not even been taken, but this should give you a framework to build your own assumptions.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, that's clear. On the synergies, Burgundy and Yar, the 100 million, by 2025, takes four years to get there because you're starting in 2022. So is that the right thing to do, to assume 25 million a year?
Yeah, absolutely. If that's what you want to model, I think that's a fair assumption. I think the cost synergies will come a little bit faster. They're 25 million. The revenue synergies will be built up because they really depend on joint content development and exploitation via the different media genres. So yeah, I think 25 per annum building up to 100 in 2025 is the right assumption to make.
Okay, great. And last question on Fremantle, two splits. So you used to give a revenue breakdown between TV advertising, radio advertising, platform, content, and digital. And content was the non-digital part of Fremantle. So last year, it was 21.6 of the first half, which is about €573 million versus the 707 reported. So can we get the same number versus the 909? That's the split one. And then at the full year, you gave how much of Fremantle revenue were SEOD platform, and also how much was the kind of the user-generated platform like YouTube and everything as a percentage. Can we have an indication of how much it was in the first half as well?
Yeah. Well, the percentage with the streamers in the first half was 15%. And growing. Yeah, 1.5, absolutely, and growing. And on the revenue split, Björn?
Yeah, TV advertising was 43.5%, content 19.7%, digital 17.8%, platform 7.1%, radio 3.3%, and others 8.6%.
Yep.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Yep, you're welcome.
The next question we received is from Christoph van der Kelen of Value Square. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I had two follow-up questions on previously asked questions. For Fremantle, you mentioned the margin of 10% to be set forward. I was wondering if you're looking at the same seasonality or if you would like to get that over the year sort of more steady. That was the first question. A second one was from the Gruner & Jahr. I read an article a couple of months ago, I think, that there was some pushback from employees from Gruner & Jahr that they didn't really were looking forward to a merger with RTL. Now that is happening, how, when you announced this to the employees, how have they reacted? And do you see any possibility of people leaving or unsatisfied employees from the transaction? And a third one was more strategic, very strategic. I see, as TV stands for RTL now, for Total Video, I see gaming more and more part of Total Video. So I was wondering, I'm not sure if I should ask this question to Bertelsmann, to RTL, to be honest. But I was wondering if gaming, how does RTL look at gaming? Is it part of your strategy? Advertising will also become more important in gaming. So is this for you part of Total Video, or is gaming not something that you are considering at all? Thank you.
All right. Good. I mean, let's start with Fremantle. I mean, the 10% margin I mentioned is the target for 2025. We'll increase the margin step by step over the years from 2021 to 2025. There's no particular seasonality. I mean, there can be slippages, you know, of productions and the like, but we don't see significant seasonality, certainly not year on year. On Gruner & Jahr, the reaction of the senior management team, the top 150 this morning, was standing ovations, which is slightly different than the skepticism which you shared. Before we decided to combine the two companies, we conducted an extensive survey among employees, including a cultural survey,
I can tell you the rate of approval for combination of RTL and Gruner is above 80%. The two companies culturally are very compatible. As I said before, they've worked together for many years. People know each other. They've been part of Bertelsmann for many, many years, and are therefore also part of the Bertelsmann culture. So we're not concerned at all there. As far as gaming is concerned, gaming is not a focus for RTL. Absolutely not. I mean, certainly not when it comes to the gaming business as such. When it comes to advertising from gaming, absolutely. I mean, this is a sector which is potentially growing depending on regulatory constraints. My understanding is, Emma, that the Dutch advertising market regulations will be softer this year and more advertising related to gaming would be allowed, which I think will be an opportunity. Or betting, is that right? Betting, not gaming. No, I mean, gaming itself is not an investment priority for us. We actually... The Fremantle business, which we are thinking about selling Ludia, is a game development company where we're taking Fremantle franchises and brands and turning them into games or doing this for other third parties. It's not a business in which we want to continue to invest. I think that gaming is a potentially capital intensive business. It is it's quite volatile, and it also raises a number of reputational issues.
Thank you.
Yep.
As we have no further question right now, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And we received no further questions. So I hand back to you for closing remarks.
All right. Well, listen, many thanks for taking the time during summer. Thanks for your continued interest in RTL Group. We very much look forward to keeping in touch with you and getting together with you in various conferences in the next weeks or so. Enjoy your summer and see you and hear you very soon. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.